So here we are this afternoon, and we're talking about being pruned, like the good shepherd and the bread of life, and like the gate. Today's text is an image of the vine. It's another extended metaphor this afternoon, a metaphor which is borrowed and adapted from the Old Testament imagery of Israel. It's interesting that the synoptic parable of the vine, which is we find in Matthew, we find it in Luke, and we find it in Mark, is a story of violence, it's a story of greed, but not so in John's Gospel. In John, the vineyard is a place of fruitfulness. The vineyard in John's Gospel is a place of intimacy and a place of love. For most of us listening today, we'd have no experience of the ins and outs of how a vineyard works. We are suburban dwellers. We are not agriculturalists. However, growing in my backyard in the vicarage is a healthy grapevine. So later on this year, I will let you know how I get on in the coming months in growing grapes and see how I am as an agriculturalist in suburbia. For most of us, the closest we ever get to working and managing a vineyard is pruning our plants, the ones that grow in our gardens. And that limited knowledge this afternoon is enough to understand what it means to prune or to be pruned. Here we are in the middle of this COVID-19 crisis where everything in our normal lives has been pruned back. Easter Day was severely pruned back. Mother's Day was severely pruned back. And when I go to the fish and chip shop on Fridays for our family takeaway meal, the owner who's following the government guidelines has severely pruned back how many people are allowed to come into his establishment, who are allowed to come into his shop, and it's just one person is allowed into his shop. He severely pruned back his customers. I think that's your microphone, Ruth. They're not very good, are they? So there's no doubt that many of us this afternoon, this week, this month, are feeling rather pruned of late. Now, don't get me wrong, I lead a blessed life. I have a great family, I have wonderful friends, and I live in the best country in the world. And I am profoundly grateful this afternoon. And yet, there are prunings, even in a good life. I heard from several friends recently how they're dealing with pretty difficult things at home and pretty difficult things at work. I have friends who have lost their jobs in recent weeks. Giselle and I are dealing with and living with the pruning effects of cancer in our child. And no doubt many of you are dealing with hardships and sicknesses, or the many issues we encounter as we live this life in the current COVID-19 crisis. And that's the thing this afternoon. At any given opportunity, at any given moment, even when things are going relatively well, there are still so many things that are to contend for and to contend with in this life. And it often feels like we're being pruned. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it feels like you're being cut down by the tragedies of life, or great or simple or small, cut down by disappointments or despair, cut down by illness or job loss or other circumstances beyond our control. And it feels like we're left to wither and die. It's easy to read this passage as one of judgment and one of threat, but I think the thrust of the passage is promise. If we look at the context of the passage, it gives us some clues of its intent. First, Jesus is offering these words to his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. He knows what is going to happen, both to him and to his flock, And they don't know. They are about to be cut down by the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. And he is assuring them that it will not be a mere senseless cutting, but that they will survive and they will even flourish. And the second context is that of the Christian community that John is writing his gospel to, because by the time John's Christian community hears these words, they have already scattered. Their lives and livelihoods have been totally turned upside down. They have been thrown out of their synagogues. They have been abandoned by their communities. But John writes to assure them that while they have indeed been cut, it's a pruning for more abundant fruit. It's a pruning for more abundant life. No doubt that was very hard to believe, because there was precious little evidence available to the disciples at the time that they had been abandoned. They had been abandoned in their mind. So there was precious little evidence to suggest that they weren't. And no doubt, it still is hard to believe as we live in our 21st century lives, because so much of what we call life simply tears at us, simply cuts us, with no evidence whatsoever that it's towards something fruitful in the future. Now, amid this uncertainty, amid this distress, Jesus still promises us that he will not abandon us, but rather he will cling to us like a vine clings to a tree, so that we will endure, so that we will persevere, so that we will even flourish among the present difficulties. Here's the big idea for our lives today. If Jesus had only said, "Abide in me or else," that would be a different matter this afternoon. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." The word "abide" is, or in this context, means where there is a love for God, there is a mutual indwelling. This is more than just good advice this afternoon. This is more than an invitation. This is a promise that no matter what happens, Jesus will be with us, mutually indwelling. That no matter what happens, Jesus will hold us and hold on to us. And no matter what happens, God in Jesus will bring all things to a good end. Now let me highlight what I'm not saying this afternoon. I'm not saying that everything happens for a reason. Rather, I'm saying that no matter what happens, we have God's promises in Jesus to work for good. Now, keep in mind, these words are said just before Jesus goes to the cross. So, what is Jesus saying? With deep truth, what deep truth this afternoon is Jesus wanting us to contemplate on? What does he want us to take away from his words that he's spoken? The cross was not simply a part of a mechanism in some larger plan, but rather the cross is the chief example this afternoon of God's commitment to wrestle life and hope from the very place that seems to be devoid of life and hope. In the cross, in the murder of Jesus, we see the very face of God. We see the vulnerability of God. We see the agony of God. A God that so desires a mutual indwelling with you and with me, that he was willing to die the death that we should have died so that we could live a life that was created, that life that we were created to live originally. And not everyone feels this way. There have been countless voices over the centuries, voices that have argued that the cross is some kind of mechanism by which God finds a way to forgive us, despite how wretched we are. Frankly, I think that such a theology is pious nonsense. Pious nonsense. It's a theology that tries to put God in a human box. It's a theology that tries to understand and domesticate God. All of which is a ridiculous theology this afternoon, because God and the theology of the cross is something that is absolutely beyond our control. If the cross means anything this afternoon, it means that God chose to abide. If that means that God chose not to sit back in heaven, it means that God chose not to remove himself from our mortality. That he chose not to remove himself from our pain, our lack, and difficulties of life in this world. But rather, he came in Christ to join to it. To the ups and downs, to the hopes and disappointments, to the fragilities, to the faults of our life in this world. So that we would know of God's unending commitment to us. The cross is not a mechanism, my friends. It is the love of God. The cross was not an instrument that was made that makes it possible for God to love us. The cross is evidence this afternoon. It's a testimony to how much God really loves us. The cross is God's promise to be with us through all things, even this COVID-19 pandemic. The resurrection is the promise that no matter how much tragedy we endure, these hardships will not be the last word. The resurrection is a promise that what we endure in this life is not merely wasteful cutting, but pruning for a more abundant future. And no matter what happens, Jesus